We are back in Hebrews chapter 11 and talking about Moses again. So last week we talked about his birth. We talked about the faith of Moses' parents. We talked about the faith of the midwives, right? They weren't afraid of the king's edicts, and Moses' life was preserved. We talked about how they disobeyed the edict, but they end up being blessed by it, right? The midwives were blessed in their families. Moses' mother was able to nurse Moses after all, and we talked about how that affects us today. You know, sometimes there may be a situation where we may have to push back, but we have to be willing to pay the consequences. We need to follow God's law before man's. All right, and this week we're starting in verse 24. Moses is grown now, and we'll talk about his faith. Bless you.
Thank you.
If somebody can read verses 24 to 28 for me.
By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them.
Okay, so thank you for reading that. Verse 24, by faith, Moses, when he was growing up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Where do we see that? Let's go back to Exodus chapter 2. All right, so we know he was brought up as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, became her son. He named him Moses. She named him Moses because she said, "I drew him out of water." Let's go ahead and read verses 11, and we'll go to verse 15. If somebody could read that for me.
One day after Moses had grown up, he went out to where his own people were and watched them at their hard labor. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people. Glancing this way and that, and seeing no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. The next day he went out and saw two Hebrews fighting. He asked the one in the wrong, "Why are you hitting your fellow Hebrew?" The man said, "Who made you ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed the Egyptian?" Then Moses was afraid and thought, "What I did must have become known." When Pharaoh heard of this, he tried to kill Moses, but Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in Midian, where he sat down by a well.
Okay, so right there we see when Moses had grown up, he went out to his people. So it looks like he's drawn to his people, right? But do we actually see where he refuses to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter?
Not explicitly.
Where else can we look? So if we go to Acts chapter 7, Stephen's speech. Stephen kind of gives a broad overview of the Old Testament, right? So his first 40 years, Moses' first 40 years, he's growing up, he's brought up in the household of Pharaoh. And verse 22 of Acts chapter 7 says, "And Moses was instructed in all wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was mighty in his words and deeds." Verse 23, "When he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brothers, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them wrong, he defended the oppressed man and avenged him, striking down the Egyptian. He supposed that his brothers would understand that God was giving them salvation by his hand, but they did not understand." So I'm going to stop there. So clearly, he was drawn to his people. He was drawn not to just hang out in the no, in the ca- in the castle and the
palace.
The palace, thank you. In the palace, and but he was drawn to his people.
I think you could also argue that when you're looking in Exodus 6 through, I don't know, whatever chapters the plagues run through, he talks about Aaron as his brother. I think it's a safe assumption that Aaron is his biological brother and not his brother from, you know, the Pharaoh's
from
daughter.
Yeah.
And so then, as he and his brother are approaching Pharaoh, even if he doesn't explicitly say it, I think it's certainly implied, and I think Pharaoh would have understood it as him arguing as the point of view of a biological Hebrew and not an Egyptian.
Right. Yeah, very good. Yeah, exactly.
Well, that just makes me wonder, like, we know that Moses was adopted by Pharaoh's daughter, but then didn't live there for 12 years. But I wonder if Pharaoh even had seen him before.
Yeah, I mean, and also, like, what's his relationship with Pharaoh at that point? That I imagine that would be a fairly, like, it's something that I've never really thought about, but I think probably to Pharaoh that kind of seemed like a slap in the face. Like, we raised you for however long, we don't know, and now here you are coming back completely representing your people against me.
The other thing is he was also, he left Egypt not in good standing.
Yeah.
He left because of the murder.
Right.
Right.
And Danny, of course, in my mind, of course, he wouldn't want to associate with being an Egyptian
sure.
at that point, especially after 40 years gone.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And he probably didn't know him that
yeah.
well. But that's bringing up the murder part.
Oh, yeah.
Again, God can use anybody.
God can use anybody, absolutely.
And even though he did wrong, you know, just like all of us have, just like Abraham did, Isaac did, you know, Abraham giving up his wife and Isaac same. And
it's funny, talking about the murder, so you know, we'll bring that up. Moses was trying to defend another Hebrew
exactly.
who he thought they would understand.
Yeah.
Right, and it's funny if you fast forward when God is protecting his people and they're leaving, they're trying to leave Egypt and the army is facing them. God strikes down that entire army.
Yeah.
Okay. Again, I'm trying to save you guys. But what did they do? Grumbled and complained. They again didn't understand. It's a funny parallel. So the fact that let's go back to Moses not wanting to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter and being drawn to his people. How does that apply to us today?
Well, he was living in Egypt, but he wasn't an Egyptian. And we're living here, but we're not really of the world.
This isn't our home, right?
Right.
Yeah, this isn't our home. And the fact that he was drawn to his people, it kind of, to me, when I was reading it, it made me kind of look at myself, and we should be drawn to each other, right?
Yeah.
We should be drawn to want to be around each other. Not forsake the assembly, right? Because there's a lot of people that they say, oh, I'm Christian, but I don't need to go to church, you know?
Marcus, I was just thinking there's a parallel with Christ, which obviously we know there's a parallel with Christ with Moses, but specifically because Christ left the comfort and glory and power of heaven to come be with people on the earth, Moses forsook the comfort and status of living in Pharaoh's household to be with his people.
Right. Yeah, that's good. That's a really good parallel. Absolutely.
That's exactly 26, verse 26. He has seen the approach of Christ greater than the richest treasures in Egypt.
Yeah.
Wow.
Good. Good job.
But what was the reward in verse 26? He had respect unto the recompense of the reward.
Exactly. That's one of my questions. What's the reward? What reward is he looking for?
I think if we go stick with Hebrews, he was looking for a better country.
Yes.
And his reward, even though Moses himself didn't get to step into the promised land, he led the people to the promised land. He got to see it, and he knew that was accomplished. But again, he was also looking for the promised land of heaven too.
Yeah. We can go back to what we read. How long has it been? Anyway, Hebrews 11, verse 10. For he's looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. I think he's, you know, Moses is also, you know, pushing forward. He's also, you know, seeking that the reward that is not temporary, like we have here on earth. Which goes back to us, you know. How does it apply to us? We shouldn't be looking for temporal rewards, right?
And isn't that hard?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I'm just being honest. You know, I want the next promotion. I want the next better thing. I want to try to find a way to make my life easier now.
Right.
But I need to look forward to the better reward, which is Jesus in heaven.
Yeah. No, I think that's because these are things that are known to us, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I understand the concept of eternal life and heaven and being with the Lord, and I esteem to be there, obviously, but heaven, it's, knowledge is different than experience. So.
Good point.
And that's why we have to keep on fighting and keep on being in. Fight the urge to stay with me.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right, so I think we jumped to verse 26. Verse 25, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Okay. So, how do we see that? Is it right to be mistreated with the people of God than enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin? He kind of took a gamble, right?
Yeah, he did.
You know, he kind of took a gamble. He's hanging out with them, and he doesn't want to hang out in the palace like we said before. He wants to be with his people. He could have stayed there. He could have. I think, even today, we see something happening. Do we always speak up? Do we always jump in? Moses could have done the easy thing and
walk away.
But I think, like, his heart in that moment may have been kind of like, I'm trying to score cool points with my people. It's
right.
But in doing so, he almost, you know, you overstep and you do something that, again, is probably
alienated.
Yeah, there may have been like a selfish motive for this, who can say, but based on kind of what happens afterwards in the aftermath, it's like you can assume that like there was a kind of, I'm willing to bet the 40 years afterwards was very, very humbling and probably exactly what he needed.
Mm, yeah, probably. I wonder how the Hebrews kind of looked at him before.
Well, yeah, I was just going to say.
Yeah, like, yeah, you're not one of us. You're like, you grew up in the palace, man.
That's
like,
a really good point, though.
He spent his entire life with Pharaoh, minus obviously the raising by his true mother. But I think at a certain point, whenever he was able to eat solid foods, right, they likely put him back in the palace. So he, that's what he knew, as opposed to his true people. And that's what they saw, right?
Yeah.
So how difficult must it have been for him to see past all the things, like what we were just talking about, past everything that he knew and was comfortable with, to flip over and be with his true people?
Right.
I think we also have to remember that he tried not to fulfill that role. Like, he actually said to God, I'm not the right person for this. That's why God gave him Aaron. So I think it's also just a good lesson for us in, like, okay, even if maybe your heart isn't exactly in the right place, or even if you push back, like, God can still use you. And obedience, even if you're, the posture of your heart isn't exactly what it should be, is still better than not obeying at all.
Right.
Yeah. I'm just from what you said, Autumn, I'm wondering, the Bible also says that that Moses was very humble. I wonder if those 40 years in the desert did the humbling for him. Because I think that's part of it, of why he said, I'm slow of speech and all that other stuff. And he never, from that point on, from everything from that.
Because ultimately he goes into the desert being rejected by his people.
Like
the very people
and
that
and
like.
And
he's trying, he's trying to like show oneness. And they're like, again, you're not one of us. Like, you just killed that other guy yesterday. Like, you ain't one, you know. And so like, he leaves. He's not one of the, you know, he has no.
He's an outcast.
Yeah.
Well,
he has
Exodus
no home.
Says that Pharaoh tried to kill him.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So he's got everybody mad at him.
Yeah.
Right.
His people and the Pharaoh and Egyptians.
Does anyone else Bible in verse 27 say, by faith he left Egypt not being afraid of the anger of the king?
Not fearing the wrath of the king.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, I'm trying
which
to figure
one,
that one out.
Which time? Yeah, that's another question. Which time is verse 27 talking about? By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible.
Oh, like the first time he left at 40,
versus
or the time
like
he left
going
exactly.
out,
yeah.
going out after like the tenth plague. Like.
It's before his, and the next one's the Passover. Maybe.
Right, because because if it's the second time, then
it's
out
the
of order.
I think it's the second time. Yeah, I think it's the second time because in 20. I'm jumping ahead here. 29, it says, by faith the people crossed the Red Sea. So.
And I mean, if you look at the rest of like Hebrews, it does seem to be going chronologically.
Yeah.
Or the rest of Hebrews 11, at least. Like, he's talking about things like sequentially. But, you know.
But it just doesn't make sense, right? Yeah.
Like, it doesn't.
But, like you're saying.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Because the first time, clearly, he was.
He left because of the wrath.
Now, was he afraid? Now, did he leave because of the wrath of Pharaoh, or did he leave because, okay, I'm rejected, you know, he just got rejected by the people, and now, okay, well, everybody must know that I killed this Egyptian.
Well, Pharaoh knew.
Exodus 2:15 says, oh, sorry. When Pharaoh heard this, he sought to slay Moses, but Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I think at that point, he was fearing him.
Pharaoh.
Yes.
Yeah. Because really, since he technically had grown up in the palace, there was nothing the Hebrews could have done to him. They could be mean to him and say mean things to him, but they really didn't have any way of coming at him.
Or, I killed this Egyptian, they're calling me out for it, these are the people I'm trying to protect, are you serious? And, okay, let me just get out of here.
I can't win,
yeah. Nothing I do is right. So anyway. So we're saying Hebrews, those two couple verses are out of order.
I think so.
27 is probably the second time.
Mm-hmm.
Is that where
I
think so.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. That's kind of what I was leaning towards as well. It has to be the second time.
It has to be the second time.
Again, the phrase, by faith he left Egypt, did he really leave the first time by faith? Or was that because I'm kind of like an exile?
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. It seems like he left in exile.
I mean, or are we just emphasizing that throughout the entire ordeal, no matter how many times he messed up, he never lost his faith.
He never lost
his
faith.
That might be the point of this whole thing.
Yeah. The second time he left, he knew God, he was doing what God was
telling
him to do.
He knew who he was and what
he
was about.
So he was following God. And as it says, not being afraid of the anger of the king, because the king was pretty angry, the firstborns had been killed. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. Like, he is following God. He can't see him, right? He had an encounter, right? The burning bush, but he's not actually seeing him. But he's keeping his eyes on the prize, so to speak, right?
Mm-hmm.
Following, being obedient to God and what God wants him to do. Even if, like you said, he's like, okay, I'm not the guy for this job. I'm not an eloquent speaker and please pick somebody else. All right. Well, the bell did work. So we'll go ahead and end there.
All these ones.
Looks like next week we'll be picking up in verse 28. Somebody can close this in prayer.
Father in heaven, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for the instruction. We thank you for Marcus doing his the research on this. And we ask you, Father, please help us to take this and to use it and to live for you in this. And we, Father, we ask you, please, for those that are going into late service, please be with them. Let them be hearers of the word. And please be with Pastor Sean as he brings the word. And then not just being hearers, but doers. And help us all to live for you for the rest of this week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
All right, thank you, everyone. We'll see you next week.